Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Our text for this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we praise You, God. We praise You for Your holy word, Lord. You have spoken so clearly to us, so adequately through the Scripture. Father, we need it so much. We cannot do without it. And so may we be people of the Bible, a people who believes Your word, loves Your word. Father, that we teach Your word and obey Your word. We ask this morning, Lord, that You give us eyes to see and ears to hear. It's in Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. You know, last October, Christy and I bought a 2005 Dodge Grand Caravan, and it's the one we have out now in the parking lot, and it's we love it. It has all sorts of neat bells and whistles, which honestly I had no idea it had. I have no idea how to operate most of them. But fortunately, one day I was looking and I opened up the glove compartment of my van, and I saw something that I absolutely love. You see, the manufacturers of my van, they took the time to write an instruction manual that tells me all about my van. It tells me how to operate it, how to maintain it, how to program it. It told me what this light means and what that sound means. And as I was thumbing through it, I mean, it was a beautiful thing. It was gorgeous because it was equipping me to be the owner and driver of my van. Now, praise the Lord, church, that He, as a maker of everything that exists, especially you and me, has loved us enough to provide an instruction manual. It's called the Bible. It's called the Bible. And contained within these pages are the very words of God. The very word of God. You know, the Bible simply means collection. It's a collection of books. But if we were to actually give the Bible a title, it might be this: Thus Saith the Lord. Because what the Bible says, God says. Listen, church, Christ is certainly coming back soon to take His bride, which is the church. And we are preparing for that day. And the purpose this morning is to continue getting ready to adorn ourselves with the Bible being our only source for faith and practice. Now listen, too often culture or experience or tradition or our own desires or science or logic trump the Bible as our authority. But when we rightly understand what the Bible is, who wrote the Bible, and what the Bible's purpose is, my prayer is that we will proclaim the Bible to be our only source for faith and practice. And so we'll proceed this morning with four questions. What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible? How do we know the Bible is God's Word? And then finally, what is the Bible's purpose? So question number one, what is the Bible? Well, the Bible is God's revelation of Himself to man in written form. You see, God is the focus, and knowing God is the purpose. Now, what I mean by that is the thread that weaves the entire Bible together is God. You see, the story of Daniel in the lion's den in Daniel 7 and the story of Peter in Joppa in Acts 9, that's all about God. That's the thread that weaves those two stories, even though they were some 1,500 years apart. The thread that weaves them together is God. You see, Daniel in the lion's den is not ultimately about Daniel not being eaten by the lions. Rather, it's really about God protecting His children and drawing an entire nation to worship. King Darius, he shouted down into the lion's den the next morning after he had thrown Daniel in there. He was actually tricked, wasn't he? After Daniel had been put in the lion's den, King Darius, as soon as day broke, ran to the lion's den and he shouted down in there. And he said, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God has sent an angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me." And then listen to this, church. Listen. Then Darius wrote to all the peoples, nation, and men of every language who were living in the land and said this: "May your peace abound. I make a decree that all in the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel." You see, Daniel in the lion's den is about God. Think about Acts chapter 9, where Peter is in Joppa. Peter raising back to life that dead woman named Tabitha. It is not ultimately about Peter or that precious woman. It's about God, who has the power to give and take life. And so the entire Scripture is about God. Could you know anything about God if you did not have the Bible? I mean, honestly, could you? The truth is that you could not know anything about God other than that He exists. That's it. That's all you could know, is that He exists. You see, nature itself declares that God is, but that's all it declares. It does not tell us anything about His nature, character, nothing about His motivation or plans. You see, you only get that in the Bible. So, the Bible is God's revelation of Himself to man in written form. So, question number two. Who wrote the Bible? That's a good question. I mean, the answer is actually sort of tricky. Did God write the Bible? Well, the answer is yes. Did man write the Bible? The answer is yes. You see, sure, the Bible records an instance where God literally writes with His finger on two stone tablets. We know them as the Ten Commandments. But we have this Bible, this collection of books, that was actually penned by humans. You see, each author left his own individual marks on the writings. Therefore, the writings of Moses, they sound different from the writings of Jeremiah. And the writings of Luke sound different from the writings of James. So the Bible was written by human authors. Yet, God is the ultimate author of the Bible. As verse 16 in our passage says, all Scripture is inspired by God. That's how the New American Standard translates that sentence. Now, the King James says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, the two are very similar, aren't they? But it's the NIV that really gets the translation right. It says this: all Scripture is God-breathed. I love that. The word translated as inspired in most of our Bibles is fiat nuestros. That's a compound word of theos in the Greek, which means God, and pneuma, which means breath. God, breath. Literally, every word of this Bible has been breathed out or spoken by God. The Bible was written by God through human authors. I mean, that's the answer to the question. Who wrote the Bible? The Bible was written by God through human authors. This book is the very Word of God. So, question number three. How do we know that the Bible is God's Word? I mean, isn't that the $10 question? I mean, yeah, people have said it. How do we know? Listen, this little book right here, it's come under more scrutiny and attack than any other book in history. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. So I want to equip you this morning. I want to equip you to be able to answer back when someone says, that's not the Word of God. And you say, well, no, wait a second. Listen to this. I want to give you six proofs this morning that the Bible is God's Word. The first one is this. The Bible is internally consistent, even though it was written by many authors over many generations. You see, there is no contradiction in Scripture. None. There are no contradictions. Yet, there are so many authors over so many generations. I mean, you would expect contradictions if this was just a book that man wrote. But since there are none, this points to God overseeing and speaking every word. The second proof is this. The Bible contains prophecies that were fulfilled hundreds of years later. Think about the prophecy in Isaiah 7:14. That the Messiah will be conceived and born of a virgin. I mean, that's crazy sounding, isn't it? But then 700 years later, it's fulfilled in Mary giving birth to Jesus the Christ. Think about the prophecy in Micah 5:2 that says the Messiah will be born in the city of Bethlehem. And then again, 700 years later. I mean, that's specific, isn't it? That city, Bethlehem, it was fulfilled with Joseph taking his pregnant wife to Bethlehem where she gives birth to Jesus the Christ. Listen to me, church. Only God can foretell such things with specificity. Therefore, the Bible is God's Word. The third proof is this. And this is sort of, you'd see this happen. The Bible continues to change lives. It's a living Word, isn't it? When people follow these words contained herein, listen, their life is changed for the better. It's powerful. It's blessed by God. The fourth proof is this. The Bible's beauty and depth of knowledge are unmatched by any other book. I mean, its beauty and depth are so great that it's hard to believe that man by himself wrote these things. And let's be honest, even atheists appreciate the wisdom and the beauty of the Bible. It resonates with our spirit. It's unmatched by any other book. And so it is. It's hard for me to fathom that it was just some man sitting down and writing these things. The fifth proof is this. The Holy Spirit gives us an inner assurance as we read the Bible that this is God's Word. And this is, guys, listen, this is where it really gets down to the nitty-gritty here. This is where you're getting more sure, where you can really lay it down here. You see, it's a wonderful experience for all who are born again. They get that inner assurance as they read the Bible. Their spirit says, yes, yes, this is God's Word. As Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. when we read the Word of God, we get this inner assurance that this is the voice of God. And then six, the final proof is this. The Bible claims to be God's Word. Listen, now, while the first five proofs are all well and good, ultimately, that is the only proof that's necessary. Number six is the only proof that is necessary. You see, if you combine the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible writers make over 4,000 claims that they are writing the words of God. You just look how frequently in the Old Testament you see the phrase, "Thus says the Lord." You see it just over and over again. And that's literally quoting God. Again, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is God-breathed. So what do all these proofs mean? The Bible is the Word of God and should be our only authority for everything it speaks to. Whatever the Bible says is the standard of truth, is truth. If the Bible says it's true, I mean, it's just got to follow. It's true. It's true. We should believe it and we should act upon it. In other words, it's our only source for faith and practice. And then the final question this morning is this. What is the Bible's purpose? Friends, if we look at our text this morning that we're focusing in on, it has two purposes. The first one is to provide instruction for salvation. And then secondly, to provide instruction for sanctification. So let's look at the first one. To provide instruction for salvation. Look with me at 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15. "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." You know what? If a person really wants to be saved, all they really need is the Bible. That's all they need is the Bible. I fully believe that I could hand a person a Bible, a person who had never even heard of God, and after reading the Bible, they would know that they need to be saved and know how to be saved. It's all in here. That's the beauty of the Bible. God has, He's given us the Bible in such a way that its teachings are able to be understood by all who will read it, seeking God's help and being willing to follow it. Now, Bernard Chevalier tells a story that happened to him while he was in seminary. I love the story. You see, there was no gymnasium on his seminary campus, and so he and his other friends played basketball at the nearby public school gymnasium. And the janitor there, he was an old man with white hair, and he would wait patiently until the seminarians had finished playing. Invariably, every time they played, he sat there reading his Bible. And so one day, Bernard went up to him and inquired and asked him, "What are you reading?" And the man did not simply reply, "I'm reading the Bible." He said, "The book of Revelation." With a bit of surprise, Bernard asked, "The book of Revelation? Do you understand it?" You know, the seminarians, they get a little big. They think they're the only ones who can understand the Bible sometimes, you know. And the man answered back, he said, "Oh yes, I understand it." And I mean, Bernard was, he was a little bit dumbfounded. He was surprised. He said, "You mean you understand the book of Revelation? What does it mean?" Very quietly, that old janitor answered, "It means Jesus is going to win. Jesus is going to win." You see, you do not have to be a scholar to understand the Bible. If a person will only read this Bible, they will gain what Paul calls the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, God lovingly instructs us right here in the Bible, all about salvation. So my prayer this morning is that every person here in this auditorium would seek wisdom and receive that wisdom and trust Christ for salvation. But the second purpose here of the Bible is to provide instruction for sanctification. Look at verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Paul gives us here four good uses for Scripture, for sanctification. First, he says it's good for teaching. Now, the King James uses the word doctrine here, which literally gets at what Paul is saying here. Our primary authority for doctrine, our primary textbook, if you will, is the Scripture. Church, listen, every theology, every study, every sermon must be based on Scripture and evaluated by Scripture. It's good for teaching. But the second thing it's good for is for reproof. Now, another way of saying reproof is defending the faith. You know, we talked last Sunday night about how mockers and scoffers will arise to discourage us and attempt to shoot holes in our faith. But here's the deal. The Scripture is our fortress, our ammunition, our rallying cry. When somebody says false statements about God and the things of God, you go to Scripture and say, no, friend, listen. The Bible says this. It's useful for reproof. But thirdly, it's useful for correction. For helping an erring brother or sister in the faith. That's what correction is. As you well know, we are sinners being saved by grace. We are not yet perfect. Therefore, there'll be times when brothers and sisters in our midst fall into sin or error of some sort. And not only does the Bible command us to lovingly correct a person in error, it provides us with a method and a spirit in which we do the correction in the hopes that the person will fully be restored and reconciled. The Bible is good for correction. And then finally, in terms of sanctification, the Bible is good for training in righteousness. In other words, it's good for becoming more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the Christian life is not like the Matrix. You guys know what I'm talking about when I say the Matrix? Keanu Reeves and, you know, they're dodging bullets and slow motion and all this stuff, doing crazy things. You see, in the Matrix, a guy who knows nothing about martial arts can upload a program and all of a sudden, he uploads it into himself and all of a sudden, he knows everything about martial arts. He knows more than Bruce Lee, Chuck Norris, and Jet Li put together just by programming it. Automatically it happens. But listen to me. Listen to me. Scripture doesn't get into us that way. The Christian life is a gymnasium. Therefore, we must train for righteousness. And the Scripture is the workout manual to do so. You see, in verse 17, Paul gives us the purpose. The purpose is to equip believers for every good work. Oh, church, may we be the people of the Bible, a people that believes God's Word, that loves God's Word, that teaches God's Word, and obeys God's Word. May we be the type of people where the Bible is our only source for faith and practice. If we do this well, we will be adorned beautifully as the bride of Christ.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainebaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.